So we haven't Friday. Talked to you for ages.
I know. Well, it's been... I went up to a big international conference for the Career Development Association.
What did you learn at the big international conference?
Oh, well,
about
I learned
careers?
About the economic, the positive economic impact of career development on the workforce, but I already knew that.
So, what's the positive? Let me guess. You're getting people into jobs they're suited to, and they work better, and the whole economy is more efficient and performs better.
Yeah, but I think
is that it?
Yeah, pretty much. All but right. Also from that personal perspective as well, about having the impact that quality employment can have on the individual. And remember that term, quality being a subjective use of that word, because each individual is going to have their own interpretation of what quality and success means for them. And that's the key, right? What works for me might not work for you.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. I know we were just talking about what we're going to talk about. But how high do you want that microphone?
I don't know.
You're going to break
your neck.
I'm a bit
nervous about this seat. I want to sit back, but it's got one of the wobbly backs.
Put the thing in to stop it. We've got... Chairs, and sometimes our regular guests come in and the chair's fine, and then one time they come in and someone's pulled this lever on it and the back sways
like
back.
It's like a recliner.
It's just getting your energy up before the interview.
Yes, absolutely.
By making you panic. So this Monday, I interviewed one of my regular guests who'd been at a meeting or a workshop or something, a bunch of employers in Hamilton.
Nice.
She wanted to talk about self-efficacy, how you can be a more effective person. But she was hearing from a lot of employers that they're wanting to know. I think it was an employment lawyer was doing a talk. They wanted to know exactly what they were and weren't allowed to say to things, because they feel like they've got a lot of staff who just can't do anything, no motivation, don't know. And I know this is it's a people problem. Some employers are not very good, and some staff are not very good, and some staff are good, and some employers are good. But I think the days are gone. I think a lot of employers are feeling the days are gone where you just shout at your staff and to make them do what you want. So you need to. I was thinking about this afterwards.
Isn't that a good thing though?
Yes.
I don't know.
But if that's your only skill as an employer, like how do you motivate your staff?
It's a learning opportunity.
Or how do you get a person who's come out of school and completely lacks motivation because they didn't have a good time at school, and how do you get them to grow as a person so that it benefits the business as well?
Yeah.
Career
development.
And most employee, when you become an employee, you don't get taught how to be that person.
Yeah, I think also, sometimes, okay, so that's two different perspectives there, isn't it? Like, why is this person in business and what is it they're trying to achieve? So they've obviously got a great understanding of their own personal values and knowledge of why they're doing the job and what they want to get out of it. So
they know why, yeah. The employee,
hopefully
they do.
You've also got an employee who has that same kind of personal knowledge and understanding. Does that make sense? Like, I'm in this job because...
But do they?
Well, I don't... No, they don't. Definitely not. No, they're definitely not. Not everybody has a very clear understanding of why they want to get up and go to work. But past the obviously economic impact that going to work has, not always... We don't always get paid what we want. We don't always get paid what we'd like, right?
Or even what we need these
but,
days.
But often, one thing's for sure, there's no such thing as an easy job. There's no such thing as, that I really believe that. I think all work takes effort.
Your job seems pretty easy, Natalie.
Yeah, but I mean, I still...
I'd be cheaper.
You are. Well, I make it look easy.
Good answer. It's very smooth.
But, I have a deep connection to what I do, and I enjoy what I do.
That makes it easier.
Yeah, I think so. I have a good understanding. I'd like to believe I have a good understanding of my values. I definitely have a good understanding of what I want to do and why I want to do work, right? I have my personal motivations at home. I have my own personal aspirations as not just a partner and a mother, as actually as a person that wants to get up and do things. And I understand that because, lucky for me, I had the opportunity to do some career exploration, and I did that sort of as part of not just my job, obviously my professional development I commit to, but that was what brought me to this job. Does that make sense? Like, I went somewhere, I went on a workshop, and it was about writing CVs, and I thought that was just like what it was about. But during that learning opportunity, I was also experiencing career exploration, because the person that was running the CV writing workshop was taking us through these exercises to help us understand ourselves more. So
did you think you wanted to do her job at
I didn't, because I always thought, gosh, I just don't think I've got the skills to get up and do kind of facilitation and presentation to people, you know?
Yeah.
I wasn't somebody that really enjoyed school. But what she helped me to understand about myself and what she helped me to see for myself enabled me to do a job that I actually get a lot of personal satisfaction in, because it started to laying down the journey of my own career development, which happens to be in career development and exploration, but it was my own personal experiences. Not really coincidentally, purposefully, because, you know, I decided that, hey, I was really inspired by the work she was doing, and when I understood it more, I realized that I could probably do that.
The solution to the question these employers are asking,
career development
is to have have all the people who come to them for a job already having gone through that process.
Well, I would hope so, because the person applying for that job is going to have much more success if they understand why they're applying for that job.
Know that that's not like that out there.
That's right. But through the Direct Career Guidance Service, which is a free program to all New Zealanders, people can have access to this, and they can have access to the services that will help them understand why they want to go to work and what kind of work they want to do.
And even if they, at that point, even if it's, they are just taking the job just for the money,
yeah,
and they know, 100%. Then they know what they want to do in the long term. Yeah. At least they know that. They know that that's a stepping stone.
Let's be super honest about this. We're all doing it because we want to earn money.
Yeah.
Right? You know, but how I spend the biggest investment, the one thing that we have that is so precious is our time, right? How we spend that currency is something we do have control over. And I think if we really understand, okay, I need to get up, I need to feed my kids, I need to keep a roof over my head. How can I do that effectively? How can I do that so that after my bad day, I'm still going to get up and go to work? Because I understand why I'm there, and I'm doing it because I want to do it. Yeah.
You caught your phone. Well done.
A very quick reaction. Yeah, yeah. There.
I think I'll move my phone away from you.
I'm going to work to replace the screen on my phone because I just smashed it. Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, that's a very big, that's a long term philosophical sort of goal, isn't it? You know, but the reality is we get it.
Direction, young people who are directionless is kind of what they're talking about. And I've been there. I've definitely been there. I was given direction externally. So off I went to university and got a job. But I still didn't know what I was doing after that.
All throughout our lives, we have that. You know, we will experience the times when we all lack a clear direction. And that's sort of, you know, your lifespan. Lots of different things are going to happen to us over the course of our lives. And that's going to change our perspective and knowledge. And you know, there'll be times when I think, well, no, I don't want to go to work. So it doesn't matter how good it all is, right? It's still work.
Yeah.
And there are times when I think, oh, you know, might phone in sick, and then I think, oh, no one's listening, and I think, oh, that's because I'm ringing myself. Yeah. But you know, I think there's a lot less of those because I enjoy what I do, and I think that's the big. It's not all, you know, employment isn't all about enjoyment. It isn't all about those things. But I think when we really look at what it means to be ourselves and what we want, it's a good idea to have a good idea about what work and the role that work plays in your life. Because, yeah, I was chatting to someone yesterday and, you know, they 55. They said to me, I'm 55 years old, right? I don't want to do what I did for the last 20 odd years. I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
I said, okay, well, where are we starting? And they said, well, look, actually, I'm an artist. And I want the last part of my working life to focus on that. And how can you help me do it? And we had a great conversation. You know, there's so many different points of information and resources and things like that. But we were also having to talk about the fact that the part of the reason they were here to talk to me was because they needed to increase their income. Like, it wasn't just like this great big, oh, wonderful. But it was like, I have to come back. I have to change what I'm doing for work. But I don't want to do this.
But becoming an artist,
I'm not sure what I want to do.
Isn't normally the way what you do. No, what you think exact of words, when you want to increase
but, you
your
know,
income.
Art isn't a job, is it? And I was like, well, don't know. Name some pretty big artists that
Well, so there are artists who make a lot of money. Exactly. But there's a lot of artists who don't make a lot of money.
Yeah. So that's kind of like, how do you bridge that gap? But if you are an artist that wants to learn how to turn your business into your art into a business, there is a great program that's free, run by Community Creative Waikato, Elevate. You can check it out online, and they have free resources, free program to help you make movements into something. So there's meaning, right? But by the pie of that, we talked about how this person could increase their income in roles that would have a focus on that, using skills and expertise they developed through the rest of their working life.
What if they said, and also, I have to work in Raglan, I don't want to work in Hamilton?
Well, then you have to start thinking about how you can earn an income to support your long-term aspiration in the region that you're in. So that's about improving your labour market knowledge, you know, that current where I live, what does it mean? Because, you know, the other side of it is you can live anywhere and do any job, but if you want to have a small commute, it might mean that you have to do a slightly different job, right? If your ideal job is an hour and a half away, is it your ideal job? If you're taking into account the fact that you don't want to commute and the cost of commute, you know what I mean? So that's that nature of what meaningful, effective work for the individual is. So yes, I want to have an art focus, but I also don't want to commute, which means that in my region, I might be open to doing these kinds of jobs to improve my income or to give me an income so that I can pursue these things outside of paid employment.
So many of our conversations that I have with you, we end up talking about trying to get people jobs that they fit or jobs that fit them. Like, that seems to be underneath everything we do.
But what you talked about right back at the beginning was employers having the right employees. So isn't that sort of part of that same equation? You know, employment that fits the landscape of my life, right? And so part of that is saying, well, these are the employers that I might be able to work with. So yeah, I think it's part of the same equation. I think if you want a happy business, happy staff's really important, but happy staff also want happy employers, so they've also got an understanding of what it is they're trying to achieve through their job. It's a very big picture we're painting here. Brush strokes with my arms everywhere. I'm taking off out of my seat.
A lot of arm waving going on here, folks, that you really need to see. So back to the first question that I was going to ask that didn't even ask yet.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
So is it still an employee's labour market at the moment, or because the government said they're going to open the borders up for people to get temporary work visas or immigrate or whatever they need to provide more staff in this country. So has that started to happen? Do you know?
Look, I haven't. I'll be honest. I was saying when we talked about this question, I said the last kind of report I read was a couple of weeks ago about there being a downturn in the amount of jobs advertised on like services like Seek and Trade Me and Indeed and all of those kinds of things. You know, but I still...
Not a crash, though, just
just a decline in the amount of jobs advertised. I didn't read and I don't have the information as to say, you know, why that is. But what I would say is that there are lots of different ways of looking for a job and each platform has a market share. Employers of different size businesses will also look for employees in different ways.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking about employment or changing your employment or whatever that might look like, it doesn't Seek and Trade Me aren't the only places you can find jobs or get employment, you know? So I think it's just about understanding labour market information, what's in your region, what are those employers, talking to people about it, and then, you know, figuring it out from there.
Local contacts.
Contacts, networking, you know, that's a sort of always think of people in suits when we think about networking. But really, it's just about using
existing
relationships or creating relationships to talk about future opportunities.
We do exist in a network. That's a natural place
one would
for
hope
a human
so.
Being.
Yeah, yeah. I think we tend to err on the side of social when it comes to our ways. So we don't work in complete isolation. Some people do. Some people do.
But we
are figure that out.
Social mammals.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what was the other thing? Oh, that kind of now ties into this as well. You were talking about before we went on the air about should you be looking for work over Christmas and
New
Year's?
So a lot of people, I always think it's quite a good time to continue your job search if you're thinking about changing employment. I don't necessarily think you should wait till the new year to change your job. I mean, there are a lot less, we are a little bit more preoccupied over the Christmas and holiday period. So it can often mean that there is less competition entering the market at that time.
Yeah.
So we might take a little bit longer to maybe hear back from, you know, vacancies and job advertisements. But I still think it's something that people, if you're considering it, just don't go away, or no one's going to be advertising, or those kind of things. It's actually quite a good time to job search. And if you need resources, if you need support, you can hop on to CareersNZ, and there's lots and lots and lots of different information, templates, all sorts of stuff that can help you through that period.
Like form letters and things.
Form letters. Well, yeah, there's a, yeah, form, there's a, yeah, great resource called the Job Hunters Workbook. If you are wanting to sort of take a little step further and start looking into, you know, building a network on your Seek profiles, for example, but also LinkedIn, you can put in Work Connects resources into your search bar, and that will come up with a list of quite in-depth resources to help you actively job seek. So there's a couple of really great platforms that I use them regularly in the work that I do, but that can be very useful over that period.
And this nationwide service that you can call up and get some
direct career services, yep.
Yeah, so like some career counselling.
Yep.
They're having a break over Christmas, New Year's, yes, presumably, so you, yes, won't be able to go to them.
Yeah, but that's still 2 weeks away, so don't delay. You know
two
what
weeks
I mean? Yeah.
Three weeks. It's the 1st of December today.
Oh, my goodness.
Not the 7th or the 8th.
It's a free service. So if you
are, you still part of that?
Yeah, yep. Yep, so we will be going until June 2025, and it's 35 different practitioners up and down the country. You can see them face-to-face in different work and income centres or connected spaces or community places, or you can access the service online, phone, kind of,
Zoomy stuff.
Zoomy stuff, yep.
Okay,
yep.
And so this started... This program started because of COVID,
yeah,
and they're like having to rapidly redeploy people,
yeah,
all around the country. And has, yeah, the government found that it's been quite a successful program?
Yeah. It's pretty much in a nutshell. Absolutely. It's been hugely in demand. It has some great outcomes for individuals. It's definitely been seen to be something that, obviously, because we're going for June 2025 now, so something worthwhile keeping,
yeah,
on.
Yeah, that's, yep, another 18 months.
Yeah.
And the new government might have... Well, the new government, their attitude is still they like people to get jobs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
and things 100%. Like, and things like that direct people. But I do... Also, something we said at the start about making a more efficient economy because people are getting into jobs that they fit better.
Well, sustainable employment, right? That's the...
There's a big difference between a staff member who turns up relatively enthusiastic about their job and someone who sort of drags themselves through the door and is looking at the clock all day. Like, it's a big difference.
Yeah, I think so. It's a big, you know, it can have a big difference on the overall performance. And if you want to find out more about that, because there has been a huge body of research that came out, I think maybe last year, if I remember off the top of my head, and it's called Why Career Development Works, and it was a project between the CDAA or CDDA, I can't remember off the top of my head, sorry team. So it was the Career Development Association of Australia.
CDAA,
yep. I think, but yeah, it's called Why Does Career Development Work? And it's got a huge plethora of individual, why it works for the individual, but also why it works for businesses. And it's kind of like a, what is it? I wish I'd come prepared because I probably could find it on my phone. But it's a huge collection of other research. So it's not just one body of work
like
that they're pulling from.
Meta-research.
That's the word I'm looking for. Thank you very much. Yeah, so it's a meta-data analysis of thousands of bodies of work. And they've come up with the six top outcomes for individuals of why career development works and how effective, how the job search becomes a much more effective process if you understand what skills, why, like, yeah, there's a whole body of work on it. And then it talks about the workplace production. It talks about depression and individual emotional impact caused by the wrong employment and on the right employment. And it works.
I guess we've had the perspective that staff are these little machines that you can slot into a spot and they'll do the job, and that's what employment's about. But what you're talking about recognizes that we are machines that are emotional machines, and you have to maintain. Just like in the car, you've got to maintain the mechanics. You've got to maintain the emotions in a human being for them
to
be effective.
Analogy. Yeah. But don't get me wrong. I think that we are all part of a machine. So we do slot. We do have to slot. We have to be somewhere at a certain time. We have to do things to... There's outcomes associated with it.
But there's more than just...
But it's, yeah, like I don't want to go to work and achieve. Do that. Yeah. I'm working... I want to go to work and work hard so I can achieve. And these are the reasons that I want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, quite often we'll work through... and I do work with such a broad range of people, and I'm so grateful for that opportunity. But one of the biggest things I think that can have an impact on someone is them understanding their values. Mm. You know, and I just go through an exercise. It's just like a sort card. It's a really straightforward and I say to them, well, you know, what, why? Pull them out. Don't have to explain to me. Explain to yourself. Why do these cards matter to you? And quite often they'll, you know, people take pictures and then I say to them, right, out of all of those cards, what do you want an employer to know about you? And they'll go, ah, okay, well, I'd like them to know I'm this. And then you go, great. And we can just talk about what does that mean when you're choosing, what kind of work does that mean? You know, if you want the employer to know about you, what impact do those values have on the kind of work that you're going to be doing? And so people say, well, actually, I want to do this, or I want to do this, and... You know,
yeah, the values thing is I've been thinking is increasingly important to all sorts of relations that we have with the world and with other people and employers and all sorts of places, because that's the thing, when something crosses your values, it's difficult
to come. Yeah, it's difficult to uncross it.
Yeah, and you don't. And the thing is, we don't really know our values that well.
Yeah, sometimes you don't know them until someone's crossed them, and you're like, I hadn't realised that meant so much to me.
Stephanie Philp, who I interview often, also says that they exist at a sort of an unconscious level.
Yes.
Sort of conscious, sort of unconscious.
Yep.
So we can be caught out by that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's worth doing
if
a process.
If you're unaware of what your values are, because also, you know, what happens if you have values that are somewhat different to those around you? So, you know, from whatever circumstances, you might have been brought up in this household and your values are quite at odds with maybe some of the beliefs and systems and actions that exist. You know, sometimes your values are kept very quiet from yourself.
And you just find yourself struggling in that environment. Yeah. You're like, and they say, oh, that person, they're just not a good fit around here.
Yeah.
And you're like, I can't get excited about what these guys are doing.
Yeah. And sometimes you can use very particular terms that might be values-based terms to start looking for a job. And that's really weird, because people go, what do you mean? It's like, well, if you want to help people, right? Put in helping people into seek in their words, in the what category, and see what jobs come up. Because you can be improving your labour market information from job adverts that give you a very clear understanding of what employers want. And that can help me to sort of think, well, actually, I hadn't thought about that for a job before. But when I look at it, it also has this value and this value and this value. So maybe that is a proposition for me. Maybe that is something I should think about.
Seeking jobs has changed since I was last seeking jobs, which is a long time ago.
So much more exciting.
Well, it used to be, there would be the ads in the paper saying, must be a team player, enthusiastic team player. And you just groan because you're like, oh, for Pete's sake, come on.
But sometimes you see adverts where they say things like... Yeah, but I think you need to be an I've worked in retail and you absolutely need to be an enthusiastic team player to stack shelves, to do that kind of work. Like, you need to be engaged, and that's probably what that advert is asking you to say. Like, I want you to want to come and stack shelves. I want you to get satisfaction from that. And some people will go, oh, and other people go, actually, I quite like it. I quite like that beginning and end. I quite like making sure things are, you know, following that process. I like working with those numbers and this. You know, there are people that actually do very much enjoy.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because we don't think it's a proposition for us doesn't mean it's not a proposition for others.
I was sort of groaning at the cliches that used to appear in ads when I was looking for them. But I see it's time you
yes,
have to go,
I do.
Natalie.
But thank you always for having me. I very much appreciate your time.
Thank you for coming in. No, it's all right. This is what we're here for. This way, there's a microphone in front of you.
That's right. But thankfully, I have not sat in the recliner seat, because I'd disappear into the ether.
It actually doesn't go back very far. Folks, there's a chair here that regularly frightens people, because sometimes it's firm and other times
no,
it rocks
it's not.
Back.
And I was like, it's nearly late. See, I've gone very quiet.
Yeah, she's alone, which is strange for Natalie.
Hey, thank you so much.
Right, thanks for coming in, Natalie.